Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I
Almost
never
forgot about the meeting.
I never know if I'm on this meeting or off this meeting or if anyone can hear me or see
You're
me. I am technically let's just say wanting for I just have no technology.
I'm not real good at it. I get by, but it just, just late, and especially lately, there's just so much seems like there's going on this time of year, and
I
just trying to
know.
stay on top of it, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
So that's why things look a little weird here. I should straighten out my get my glasses off. So I don't know how people do it, but I always keep seeing the reflection of the screen in my glasses. I got to figure a better way to work this thing or something.
I wear mine on the top of my head all the time because I
Well,
can
that's yeah.
see
If I have to
better.
read, though, I need them. That's all they're, Well, anyway, but yeah. So, what else do we have here? This is there we go.
Supposed to be at 7, right?
Yep. Let
Okay.
me move this out of the way. Find out what the agenda is. Okay, there we go. Well, actually, that's not too bad. So. Yeah, and I saw some notification for that meeting. There's another meeting coming up. You got to sign up by middle of February for it or something. I'm not up to speed on that.
I'm not either, but I do have a question about that. It says it's like 7 hours long.
Yeah,
Is
exactly.
that are we on there for 7 hours?
I'm not.
I
I'm
was
not.
gonna say,
Yeah.
holy moly, that's a long time.
I would think you have to pick and choose, but I don't know enough about it. So,
Yeah, so that's my big question. I mean, I don't mind doing it, but I want to know. Like, when do we go on and how long? For how long?
Exactly. And that
Yeah.
meeting's, I think the meeting's actually, we have to sign up by February 22nd or something. To,
26. Oh,
but the
yeah.
meeting is actually in March, a month after that. So,
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why we're getting that now, though.
yeah, I don't
Well,
know.
so who knows? I'll forget by then. But yeah, I have no idea. I can't do 7 hours on that day.
No, not even close.
Now, is Ross gonna be on this meeting or not? Or is he done?
I say yes, oh yes, he oftentimes doesn't show up until time.
Hi.
I'm pretty sure he'll be here, please. Hi.
Okay. There's Mary. So did you hear that what we were talking about, Dave and I,
No.
about that meeting in February or March? And we got the email to sign up for it in February, but it's like from 7:30 to 4:30 or some, it's like a 7 hour thing. So we were wondering if that was something. I can't be on a meeting for 7 hours.
I'm lost. I don't know if I got that email or not, or I saw that email.
It came December 16th. It's a land use webinar and quarterly, hold on a second here, and quarterly newsletter. It says, just to clarify, this is from Danielle. I need to know if you want to sign up by February 20th, 2025.
Oh, it is the 20th.
That's the sign up, but like I said, I believe it's a month after that. And I'm not
Yeah.
looking at the. Let me see if I can find the.
Yeah, I remember it being in March. I just didn't know what day the sign up was and
Yeah.
what we're actually signing up for, what how many hours, because it
Oh, okay.
didn't say. It just said the duration was like 7 hours long.
It's I'm just looking at it now. It says it's the CBA Education and Training, Planning and Zoning, Connecticut Land Use Law for Municipal Land Use Agencies, Boards and Commissions. Saturday, March 22nd, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. It's a virtual meeting and accessible via Zoom. So I'm guessing you could pick and choose depending upon what you want to see. Don't know, but
Okay. Hey, everyone.
hi.
Hi.
That seems more reasonable to me.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at it and see.
I think that its cost is $60 or something that they would pay for us.
Let me see here. I don't know
I get
if
reimbursed.
yeah.
I don't say anything about cost, but I think it was something like that. Just looking at the agenda, I mean, there's a planning commission, a zoning commission, just a special permit and site plan review, nonconformities. Then 1:30 in the afternoon, wetlands law and procedure. So that would, and then from there on, let's see, zoning, planning, and wetlands. Panel discussion, then ZBA is at like 3:40. Let's see here.
I wonder if you could just attend the inland wetland section, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Looks to me like it's a pick and choose based upon what you're actually doing here. So
Oh, good.
that's my guess, but I don't know for certain.
Well, we can ask her.
Yep.
Thought I would call and just inquire about the whole thing. Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
Just gonna wait a couple more minutes for Ross, folks.
Okay.
I have to close the door for these meetings because we have a dog who likes to bark when she hears coyotes, and we have coyotes in the neighborhood, and she barks long and loud. So he's a great Pyrenees that we rescued from Mississippi. And
Oh,
boy, can she bark.
oh,
Nothing quite
whereabouts?
like it at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're sleeping and she hears a coyote. Forget it.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I just had something go wrong with my Zoom on my computer. It disappeared. It was here yesterday, so I don't know where it went. So my apologies.
You're here now. That's important.
So looks like is Alyssa here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am. I am here. I am sick, but I am here.
Oh, great.
Oh,
Sorry. That's okay.
Hope you feel better.
So
Yeah,
why
terrible
don't we
time.
get started? Hope you feel better and can survive the meeting.
I'll be fine. Thank you.
So when we get started, I'll entertain a motion to approve our agenda as is.
So move.
A
Do I have a
second.
second? Who is the second by?
Me,
Denise.
Diane.
Oh, hi, Diane. So,
Hi.
motion made by Jim, seconded by Diane. Any further discussion? Then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Michael, did you say aye? You're muted, just curious.
Aye.
And all right, so it's unanimous by those members present who are Jim Lersch, myself, Ross Lally, chair, and Diane is a member, and Michael's a member. And I think I covered everybody.
We didn't cover me, but if you want me, I don't have
Oh,
to be.
David, there you are. David
Yeah.
is here as well.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a look at our minutes for our previous, meeting, which was our regular meeting of November 19th.
I looked at the meeting and it looked fine to me.
No comments from me.
No, they look good to me, so I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
I move.
So that's Michael, you made the motion. Do I have a second?
I second
Seconded by Jim. Any
it.
further discussion? Then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes unanimously by all members present. So let's continue on with our agenda. And it is next. Well, we have no old business. We have some new business. And I guess that's some informal discussion with James Reed of 21 to 31 Vernon Road for developing a vacant lakeside lot.
Yes. All right. I will introduce this project. This is James Reed, Jim Reed. And he bought a undeveloped parcel on Bolton Lake, Lower Bolton Lake, and it's between 21 and 31. I'm going to share my screen here because I'll
Yeah.
be sharing the I'm just going to share my whole screen so we might see ourselves. Can everybody see that well? Yes.
Yep. There you go. Yep.
So yeah, you can see this is 44 right here. Can you see my cursor move by any
Yes.
chance? Yep.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So 44 is right here, and then this pin indicates 31 Vernon Road, and down here is 21, so it's this parcel right here. It's currently sort of sparsely wooded. There's quite a bit of erosion on the right butting up to the lake. And let's see. So here are the plans. Jim ultimately wants to build a two-bedroom house on this parcel with a deck. And can everybody see that? Okay,
Yep.
perfect. I'm cutting off some of the sort of notes around here, but basically we have the two-bedroom house. Over here, there's going to be a proposed mitigation planting, which I was really happy about. Currently, there's not much that's been able to take hold here. You can tell there used to be a lot more vegetation in that area because there's a lot of exposed roots. But I think the water has sort of eaten away at it. So only the larger trees are still there. So yeah, we've spoken about maybe some low bush blueberry, basically creating a riparian buffer there. So I think that could be really positive and a net benefit for the site. This is going to be, sorry.
Nothing.
Okay.
Clearing my throat. Sorry.
Okay. No. Don't apologize. But I can't see anybody. So if anyone wants to say something, just butt in. Here is going to be a proposed pervious driveway, which I was also very happy about. Jim and I were talking today about potential pervious materials to use. So yeah, we can go more into that. This is our line of erosion control measures. There's a double line of sill fence. Mm-hmm. There's a reserve and primary septic area, but they ultimately want to tie into the sewer. There's going to be several trees that are getting saved. So that's basically what I have. Jim or Andrew, did you want to add anything?
Tell us more about the silt fence and along to protect the lake and the edges of the property.
I'm Andrew Bushnell with Bushnell Associates, so I prepared the site plan here. As far as erosion control, you know, we're trying to leave it, as Alyssa was saying, an undisturbed buffer between the limited disturbance and the lake. You know, as much as we can preserve the trees that are there and add some blueberry bushes, maybe some other things to kind of establish some undergrowth there to hold that bank back. You know, it's been eroding over time. It's just kind of a natural thing, but try to do what we can to get some more root structure in there to, you know, keep the lake from eroding it any further. And then having a buffer from the yard to the lake. So the silt fence there, you know, the direct downhill silt fence, I propose a double row of silt fence, added layer of protection, you know, during construction. The gradient across the lot is, you know, these are 1 foot contours, so it looks steeper than it is. it's not a horrendous gradient across the lot. So I think with the double silt fence and then, some good erosion control or reestablishment practices, you know, during construction, try to, you know, maybe use some temporary cover in the areas, you know, that are right in the area of the house or the driveway during construction will help. And then getting a good grass growth in there after, you know, leaving the silt fence up until you mow that a few times and get it really established, you know, would be what I would recommend in the detailed erosion control plan we'll prepare as we move along here. Developing this plan. So as far as erosion control, as Alyssa mentioned, you know, we need to show the primary and reserve septic area, and that is just to prove that we can support a two-bedroom house there for septic, so that we can then petition WPCA to tie into the existing sewer that runs along Vernon Road there. The septic won't actually be built, but that area needs to be preserved and not be built on, is how the WPCA regulations work in Bolton. That's why that is like that. Talking a little more about the house, you know, two bedroom house, a 600 square foot house, rather, you know, small, compact footprint with a deck off the front, and then the driveway to the side there. You know, we're trying to mimic the existing stormwater infiltration on the lot that's there now. You know, the soils are quite good. We do, you can see there, if you look on the plan, there, we did do some test holes out there with the Eastern Highland Health District as part of the septic design. And, you know, the soils were quite good. I can look at my plan here. I mean, we were really no compact layer, no seepage, no modeling. You know, the roots were down to about 40 inches, which gives you some kind of idea of, you know, where it starts to get damp. Not that, you know, I don't believe there's a actual groundwater table within, you know, 6 to 7 feet of the ground surface there. You know, so the soils are good for, you know, infiltration, and we want to maintain that infiltration. So therefore, you know, under the deck, we proposing some stormwater infiltrators, tie the roof gutters into those and infiltrate the roof water back in. And also under the deck would be to put a layer of crushed stone under there, so the water that falls on the deck and runs between the cracks and the boards can get down there and also infiltrate back in, you know, as it does now. You know, now like the cover in there is pretty much a leaf cover surface from the woods.
Here it is.
That have been there. Yeah, so there's a, you know, a standard detail of how the infiltrators work, you know, backfilling with stone. And so you get quite a bit of storage of water, but you also get the infiltration too. And then the driveway proposing, right now I have a permeable pavement driveway. I mean, like, as I mentioned, we're still refining the plan, but some kind of permeable surface. You can use permeable pavement, permeable pavers. You know, we felt that was the way to go rather than a gravel driveway. A gravel driveway will allow some infiltration, but over time, A, the gravel gets compacted from being driven over. B, you have erosion potential there. So, you know, using some kind of permeable surface driveway pavers or pavement, you know, eliminates that issue there, you know. And the permeable pavement, as you can see the detail there, is basically, you know, 12 inches, an inch and a quarter stone put down, and then the permeable pavement or paver. So you have that reservoir of storage in that yeah. foot of stone, you know. You know, so typical void ratio in a stone, a lot of people tell you it's 40%. It's more like 30%. So I usually say 30%. You know, so you're storing, you know, a third of that is, you know, 4 inches of water you can take and store in that stone. You know, it's a pretty good size storm. And then, you know, it'll infiltrate into that subgrade before, you know, and as I mentioned, the soils were good and the perk rate was very good too. Into the soil where we ran the perk test for the septic. So, you know, I think this site's a great candidate for, you know, infiltrating the stormwater to try to mimic the existing condition that's there now, you know. So, you know, obviously the entire site's in the upland review area for the lake. I mean, the lot's only, you know, 70 feet deep at the most. So, you know, we are in the upland review area. I do have some calculations on there, the lot size and the area of disturbance. Area of disturbance in the upland review area is just a little over 5,000 square feet, you know. The proposed impervious lot coverage, you know, max allowed in this zone is 20%. We're at 8.9. You know, impervious area, which is, you know, a good number there. I'll try to, as I said, minimize our impervious area as much as possible, keeping the footprint of the house small, driveway small, using the impervious pavers and the infiltrators for the roof water. We are going to look at, you know, maintaining as many trees as possible. Obviously, some of them you can see are in the middle of the house. We located all the larger trees out there. You know, we are saving the ones right along the lake. That 24 inch at the end of the driveway, we think we'll be able to save. You know, maybe a couple of these trees, the 20 inch maple on the edge over here, maybe that hickory and that other hickory, you know, save some of those. So, you know, try to save as much as we can for the trees, particularly the larger, more mature trees. Maybe trim them up a little bit, you know, just for safety standpoint, make them healthier. Now, direct impact to the wetlands, I don't foresee any short-term or long-term, you know, as long as the erosion control is maintained well during construction and you get a good, good stabilization when construction is completed. I don't see any problem there. As I mentioned, the majority of the site's wooded now. You can see over on the right hand side, on the south side, there's the existing tree line there. In between there and the property line, that's a grass surface there now. We are going to need to drill a well, so we have the well placed up here in the upper right hand corner. And that kind of drives the well and the septic are driving how many infiltrators you can put in there too. We need certain separation distances from the septic and the well to those. So I'd like to put more, but that's pretty much all we can get to maintain those separating distances required there. But then again, I think that, there's a lot of storage in there. I think in those infiltrators, just in the infiltrators themselves, plus the stone, plus the infiltration. So I think that's going to take quite a bit of roof water there. In a storm.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, I think we'll definitely hear the commission's thoughts, but I was on the site, when Jim first bought the property, and there wasn't a ton going on. It's not like this is some like haven next to the lake. There was kind of a lot of tree death, quite a bit of just like stumps and things like that. There wasn't a ton of organic matter. It was sandy loam soil. And yeah, I definitely think with mitigation plantings and permeable surfaces, I think this could end up being actually a good thing for the lake potentially, because what's currently butting directly up to the lake is becoming very eroded. So I think we kind of needed somebody to buy the lot and plant stuff, because no one would do it if not for that. So yeah, that's my opinion. But yeah, how do we all feel? I think Jim was just kind of looking for some advice
So just a couple of questions, just so I understand, make sure I'm understanding correctly. Again, the locations of the septic system there is purely just to demonstrate that you could put a septic system in, correct?
Correct.
And so that's 1,000, that 1,000 is a 1,000-gallon storage tank for a sewer.
Yeah, that's a septic tank, yep.
Septic tank, and then you're going to connect up to the proposal will be to connect up to the sewer line.
Right, and that'll be via the grinder pump we show there, because that's a low-pressure sewer system through there. So,
And then the footprint for the house, you're up against the minimum setback from the road, correct?
We're over the minimum setback. The front, the lake side of the house is like at the setback. So we're going to need to go to ZBA. That'll be another stop in the process here.
Okay, so you're closer to Vernon Road than you should be, and closer to the lake than you should be because of the tiny lot, correct?
Correct, yeah.
I mean, it should be, I mean, per the zoning.
Right.
Rules. And let me see what else. If I'm looking at the lot from the lower right corner to the upper left corner, that looks like you've got a 12-foot drop, if I'm reading the contour lines correctly, over 70 or 80 feet. So you've got like a 12% grade or something like that.
I can tell you real quick.
I know it's not the same everywhere on there, but I'm just taking the longest dimension across.
So you've got
12%?
12 and 106, roughly.
Yeah,
so about 11%.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing just from looking at it. It's like 11, 12. And those contour lines are the existing or proposed after you do your grading?
Well, the dash ones are existing and the solid ones are proposed.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you recap again for me how you're going to stabilize the edge of the lake there? What's going to happen there so you can control the erosion there?
I mean, the absolute edge is not, you know, right at the edge, there's not a lot you can do, because that's just like a vertical yeah. drop in spots, you know. But the idea is to get some underbrush plants growing in there, nothing invasive, some native stuff, to just get some root structure in there to kind of hold it back and stop it from getting worse, you know, would be the idea. You know,
you're not doing any actual construction or clearing in there. You're doing mitigation work to keep it mm-hmm. from getting washed away, correct?
Correct.
Eroded further.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Currently, when I was on site, it's currently all that's directly on that edge of the lake, edge of the water, is it's bare soil, and there's just some larger roots that have gotten, the soil has gotten washed away from. So there's very little, there's some mountain laurel, but it's not quite right up against the edge of the water. So yeah, it's kind of just bare soil and roots of trees that existed before the erosion happened. So yeah, I think some Lobush blueberry would be a really good idea. Jim and I were talking about that, but there's a ton of different plants they could use, but definitely just some more shrubby and herbaceous stuff to hold that soil down.
So it looks like what you're doing then, just for the grading on here, you're more or less building it up to make a smooth pad to put the house on. Then you have, it looks like, a 3 foot, 2 or 3 foot drop around it. Then you go back to the original contours. Am I correct?
Correct. Correct.
So then we presume anything within the, that pad that the house is sitting on is going to be disturbed one way or another. And that's where you'll have some challenges with the trees, in addition to the fact that there's some already in the middle of the house.
Correct. Yeah. You got to look at the root structure on them and
yep.
how you're influencing those. Yeah. Yep.
And what about the rest of it? The part you're not grading, that's going to be left more or less as is, or is it lawn, or what are you doing there?
What was that again? The
So I'm looking at, you got those new contour lines that mm-hmm. go down to 201,
mm-hmm.
200. And so between that and the silt fences, the erosion barrier, what's going on?
I would say that's going to, you know, that's going to blend back into the original grade, and that'll be all grass area.
Okay. Yeah. So it'll be lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing, so it's basically the lot's going to be lawn with as many trees saved as possible.
Correct.
Down to the erosion barriers.
Right. Everything from the silt fence to the road will be, yeah.
Are there any thoughts or intentions to put a dock in here? How are you going to access the lake? And you can be on a lake to look out at it, but are you going to want to get in the water somehow, some way?
So if you look at the contour, and you can see, like, in the middle here, right in there, there is somebody years ago made a ramp, let's say, to the lake. So there's access there where you can, you know, walk down to the lake easy enough. And if you're going to do a dock, that would be the place for the dock, because you got access there.
Yeah, there's like a little perfect little launch, path,
I guess I'd call it, you know. So, yeah. So we would reutilize that access point.
Would you be, as part of this plan, putting in a dock?
I don't know. That's something that has to change. I don't know.
I would just say you might want to, if you wanted to do one and done, that might be a good thing to think about before you formally submit this. Otherwise, you'd need to come back either with a new application, perhaps, or a modification. So I think it would be easier if you do plan to have a dock, is just to put it on the plans now, because you doesn't mean you have to build it. But if you do choose to, then you're already covered and you're not coming back again and spending additional time and money.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's to help you out, because, again, anything that, you know, we permit you, you know, you're allowed to do, but you don't have to, you know, complete those activities. So that's why, I would just say, if you're thinking you might ever want it, why don't you put it on there now, and you're good to go if you do. And if you never do, it's fine too.
Yep.
I'm going to go down to the vehicle. Do you want to pretend something to
protect? I'm sorry, Jim. Jim, read us a question.
I'm sorry about that. I was wondering, should I still be raising my hand if it's informal? I don't need
no,
to show
no, Bobby, just jump on in.
I don't need a doc. I would really appreciate your support for the proposed project the way that it is. I don't need to show a doc.
Okay.
Unless you would prefer that, certainly.
No, I'm just saying that if you ever did in the future want sure. one, you'd have to come back and do another application. So that's all I'm saying. If you want to just put one down as a conceptual footprint for one, you don't have to do a lot of details for it, but just that, you know, then we know that's something you'd want. It's okay. Then if you ever changed your mind, it's like you don't have to come back again.
I feel like we really need your support on this particular project that we're proposing. So to ask for more right now is, it's kind of, I'd really appreciate your support on the current proposal. I don't need a doc, but thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
Well, I mean, if I didn't support the current proposal myself personally, I wouldn't be suggesting that you do that. I'd be focusing on other stuff. I'm not speaking for the other members of the commission. So, you know, we'll need to hear from them.
Thank you very much.
So, Diana, any thoughts, or David? Diane, I'm sorry. I got to get that Diana out of there.
That's all right. No, it looks great. I appreciate all the feedback that you've given. It's looks good.
Yeah, I agree, and I think I appreciate the fact that you don't want to go with indicating a doc or a proposed doc there. That's fine. I think that makes it a little more palatable overall. So, it looks good.
Just one question. I'm guessing is this kind of a balanced job? It's an equal amount of cut and fill.
I would say it's. You're gonna have to import some fill.
Okay.
You know, definitely gonna have to import stone for the permeable.
Okay, so you're not gonna be wasting or having to haul off or anything or respray.
Yeah.
The temporary stockpile area, is that what is that surrounding that?
Silt fence.
Oh, okay.
Give it a little extra protection there.
Okay. It just wasn't labeled, so I wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah.
So you may want to just label that because it looks a little different than the silt fence.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I thought maybe it was hay bale.
I think it's a scale issue.
Put a label on there is all I would say, or extend a lead from where you already have a silt fence thing. That's all the comments I have.
Yeah, I was going to say this is very thorough, as you know, for something that you just want to see if it will fly as opposed to a formal submission. This is very thorough and answers a lot of the questions we'd be asking had you just brought it in formally.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
I didn't catch the square footage of the house. What was that?
600 square feet, 30 wide, 20 deep.
Single story, two.
It may be a two story when it's done, but likely a two story.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Great. Anybody so have anything
what
else
you would add? Like to leave with tonight is just do a sense of would this fly with the commission, correct? And then you would come and resubmit formally. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Yes.
Do you have a time frame on when you want to build and do this work? Just a general idea?
Well, I would say only because I know that there's a lot of steps after this. I would say as soon as possible. We'd love to get back on the agenda as soon as possible, just because there's a lot of moving parts to this.
And if you wanted to do anything by the water, they draw the lake down in the winter too.
I'm sorry, now that it has gone quiet, I would just like to reiterate that, you know, it was important to me and as it was to Alyssa that we kept the current shoreline very much intact from end to end, from north to south, as you can see. And I would say most of the more the larger trees that seem to be some of the better habitats for the birds and so on. It's you'll see the I think the 24-inch oak down by the water's edge was outside the erosion control barrier, obviously being saved. Inside the erosion control barrier, I know that Andrew had mentioned it already, but there's also another very large 24-inch oak right by the back edge of the driveway, and I would 100% guarantee to you that we would save that. Also, even though it's inside the disturbance area, that particular tree is a beautiful tree, and we will save that tree. We would make every effort to save the 18-inch tree that is by the deck area there. It will be a little bit tight. I'm pretty confident we can save that one as well. It's a beautiful tree. You know, and obviously everything else outside of the erosion control barrier remains intact. We would continue to add native species in that area along the shoreline at the board's discretion. Or Alyssa, she's been great on suggestions of, I'm totally on board with filling all that up and building it up. And, you know, I would say obviously there's going to be some smaller trees in the septic shown area. Most of those, I imagine, would probably, you know, become a lawn area so that, you know, I would have a place to play with my son or whatever it may be. So I would say in it'd be the bottom left corner, that septic area would be really a lawn area. You know, the large oak tree that's right by the road's edge, I do have some concerns. It doesn't look like the healthiest tree. It is very large. I do have some concerns about that, but that's also probably the furthest away from the water's edge of all the trees that are noteworthy. But I feel like my heart is certainly in the right place with, you know, coexisting with the water.
I think that oak tree by the road was probably root damaged when they put the sewer in.
It doesn't look so good.
The sewer is right up against, you know, right
now. They probably cut the roots all off along that side of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's also bowing in towards the house.
Excuse me?
It's bowing in towards the house. Like it's like tilted towards where the house would be. Yeah. So I would be concerned about falling. Yeah.
I also understand, too, that this is your initial plan. And when you get into it, you may find that some of these things do have, you know, some trees you wanted to save, you can't. And others, you know, you thought you'd have to move. Oh, you can leave them. So, yep, I get that. So if we were to say, if we were to give you the go ahead tonight to the, there's nothing. Well, I'll just ask for, you know, the commission just to give their consensus in a moment. You would need to submit this formally. It would come in on our January meeting and we would not be able to act on it until February. Officially, so you know, you'd come back, you come in January, present it, any changes, like, you know, some of the suggestions like Michael made about labeling the silt fence around the stockpile area, whatever, and then the following month would be the soonest that we could take action on it, you know, by state, you know, by the state statutes.
Does the board or Alyssa have any suggestions for us otherwise, in terms of what you're seeing on the plan?
I don't. You've heard all of mine, Jim. Mine was mainly the mitigation planting, which I'm really happy you have on here. And I didn't even mention the permeable driveway, but I would have eventually, but you beat me to it. So, I don't have any.
And I like the fact that it's a small footprint house, which, you know, makes sense in that lot that you're not trying to stuff a McMansion in like some people do.
I think it looks good.
So I'll just do a quick summary, asking if everybody consensus. I'll just go around and ask folks. Jim?
I'm good.
Michael?
Good.
Diana?
Good.
Diane!
That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm good.
David?
I'm good.
And then, Alyssa, you said you were good with this?
Yep, absolutely.
And then I am as well. So I would say then you've got our go-ahead informally, and you can come back in January, submit these before our January meeting, and we can take a look at it again and see if there's anything else that, you know, you've come up with after talking to any of the other, you know, commissions and boards. Yeah, because I'm just curious, especially about ZBA, you know, how things go with them. And whether that would change anything when you come back to us.
Great. Anything else?
Nope, not for me. Anybody else?
No.
Okay. We'll stop sharing.
I move that Diane can call.
Thank you.
Ross Russell.
That was kind of my mother's nickname for me when I was a kid, because I always signed my paper Rock L, so she always called me Russell. So it was either that or I got called Rose Lily by the kids in school, which I prefer Russell.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, so then Jim is in Reed, and Andrew, you guys are welcome to sit around and watch or bail out.
Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, Jim. Sure.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you.
All right, let's continue with our agenda. Wetlands agent report.
Okay. We have not a super crazy one. So,
did you get that letter we were supposed to?
No, of course we didn't, Ross.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm not super worried just because you saw it, so we can kind of, and I'm going to have some photos to screen share and show everybody.
Yeah.
So I'll do the ones where I don't have to screen share first. So you had asked me to look at One Notch Road.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like a quarry area.
Yeah.
And because
it are members of the commission familiar with One Notch Road.
Oh, yes.
With Land Reconstruction.
Yep.
Yes.
He's selling it now.
Mm-hmm.
Without completing the activities that we had permitted.
Yeah. Yeah. So it actually, I spoke to Bill Phillips, yep. Of Landry. I think the owner of Landry. And he put the lot up for sale, but he's still continuing work. So I think that was where there was miscommunication. So I met him on site, and I just asked, you know, what are the plans to stabilize before you kind of before the site gets abandoned, basically. And he said, oh no, we're continuing work. So there's active work being taking place right now.
He does a lot of work for the town, and stuff that the town doesn't need him to move from point A to point B goes there, and he uses his fill and from other projects he's working on then. So as long as he's doing that and not stockpiling stuff, as long as he's bringing stuff in to grade to the original plan.
Yeah, that seems like so. Yeah, he said basically he put it on the market just to see if anybody bites, but he's not he's not married to it being sold or anything, and work is continuing. So there were some small stockpiles when I was there. There was a bulldozer that actually came in while I was there. So I know there's active work.
I would just say keep an eye on it just to make sure. It's hard to tell because I've went down with Kim a couple of times just to make sure that the stuff that we saw piled up was getting spread and graded as opposed to coming out again on a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see any places he needs to do any erosion or sedimentation controls just again because of the concerns? It's typically been around that, you know, the entryway through the fence. Yes.
Yeah, so it was kind of an interesting site because the thing that wetlands is concerned with is basically this, this site had a stream that flowed into a detention pond, and it ended in this area of the site that is now kind of a stockpile area. And basically what he did was made the water course turn 90 degrees and go into a culvert and then into a catch basin. So yep. He basically flowed it out of that detention basin and into a catch basin, 90 degrees, you know, from the direction of the water course. So that area that was previously a detention basin that now just has kind of stuff piled in it would be the main section that I think would need it, and as well as the driveway. The driveway was fine when I went there, but
yeah, the driveway area is the one that I'm mostly concerned about, just because of a concerned neighbor. And
yeah,
at one point there was a little bit coming out from there after a few of those tropical downpours that we had, mm-hmm. but most of it, as I said, comes from up above. But
yeah.
It's just so one much thing I want to just keep an eye on. So if somebody does say anything, then yeah, we've been there. We've talked to them. This is what we've done. And here's where that stuff is coming from. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll take a look whenever I'm heading out Notch Road. But
yeah.
Yeah, they have plans. They're going to have to do some hammering on the... if you're coming out of the site onto Notch Road on the right-hand side, they have to do some hammering because there's not enough site down the road for something with zoning. So they're going to have to like hammer back some of the ledge to make it safe to pull out, basically. So yeah, that is one Notch Road. 148 Brandy, that's the in-ground pool that is an agent permit. I'm continuing inspections. I actually went out there today. Everything was good. The pool is pretty much done. He's basically just doing like the surrounding landscaping stuff now. A lot of stonework. And yeah, I'm continuing inspections, no releases or anything like that. So yep. I had a neighbor call me about a property on, or I don't know if it's on Green Hills Drive. I think it is Green Hills Drive. I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with that. It's off of a cul-de-sac that I now can't remember the name of. Never mind. The cul-de-sac is called Green Hills Drive. Okay. Glad I cleared that up for myself. So this is a undeveloped lot right at the end, like at sort of the direct middle end of on Green Hills Drive, and it's like I said, undeveloped. I got a call from a neighbor who was concerned that they were cutting some trees on that property, so I made contact with the owner and just sort of said, hey, here's the wetland map, make sure you're not cutting in the wetlands. They weren't actively working when I was there, so I couldn't see. But I basically took a look from the neighbor who called me his property. And there's very clear topography where the wetlands are. It's a pretty steep decline down into the wetland area, and they were staying on top of the hill, basically. So yeah, I made contact with the property owner. He said he got soil testing done. He knows exactly where the wetlands are. And he's aware of the upland review area as well. So any questions on that one? That was kind of confusing. Okay. One Notch, 148 Brandy, Greenhouse Drive. All right. Now I'm going to flip to screen sharing again. And all right, not this one. No, I can't see. I don't know if you guys can see my little control bar up there, but it's blocking everything I need to press. I can do this. All right. Can everybody see these photos?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. I'll just start with this one because it's first. So Ross and Barb and myself. Wait, I'm thinking of 65 Shawnee Mill. I'm way ahead of myself. Okay, this is 271 Hop River.
Yeah, this is not Shawnee Mill.
Yeah, I'm like,
it looks too nice.
Yeah, I have photos from that later on. That's why I got confused. So this is 271 Hop River. I went out by myself and met the site worker, Phil Shaddle. This is the gas station project, and there was talk of a trail and stream crossing being constructed. And Dave Lynn and I went out with Patrice Carson from Planning and Zoning and hiked the whole trail before it was a trail, sort of bushwhacked through what would eventually be the trail, and basically gave him the go ahead. And then we sort of a couple meetings later decided, actually, we don't think this was permitted originally. It was through planning and zoning, but not through us. So I contacted Phil and said, hey, you know, come back for a permit modification. And he said, the work's already done. So I went, all right. And just asked if I could go see the site. And I was very pleasantly, not surprised because he does great work, but I was really happy with what I saw, basically. So what you're seeing now on the screen is the trail leading up to the stream crossing. So this is closest to the gas station, closest to the road.
So we're walking from the gas station and road towards the trail.
Yep, exactly. So over here, if you can still see my cursor, this is a big wetlands area. It's actually like a stream kind of boggy thing. So this is all wetlands, and then this stream crosses under here. This is the stream crossing. Very sturdy. I jumped on it a couple times to make sure. And yeah, so it's a complete span. There's no impeding of stream flow whatsoever. There's some concrete like piers on either end that are buried to really make sure that this is solid. These are steel I-beams underneath here that are notched in to those concrete piers. So yeah, what Dave and I had said originally when we, you know, were looking before this was built, when we were looking at it with the site worker, we said, just make sure there's no, make sure the stream flow isn't impeded at all. And I think he did a great job with that. So this is the stream crossing. And this is what the whole trail looks like. It's probably 4 or so feet across. And it's all just like raked up, basically.
So it's not the natural surface?
Yep, correct. Yeah, it's just raked. They removed some larger like stones and cut some trees that had fallen across where the trail would be.
So what's the grade on this? Is there any grade?
It really varies. Some parts are very, very shallow. And then there's a couple parts where I was huffing and puffing to get up them, but none of it was too crazy at all. Like, I'm not concerned about undermining of the trail at all. It's all pretty solid. And we hiked it all the way up to where it'll connect at the Hop River Trail. So this area is, it was basically, I don't even know if it could be called an intermittent stream. It's sort of there was some rill erosion upstream from this. And Phil was concerned that it would sort of take a turn and go down on the trail. So he basically put this pipe to pipe it over. That's its natural course of where it wants to go. So yeah, that's basically what he did there. Any questions on this part? Because I don't think I explained that very well.
No questions.
It looks like he's done quite a bit of work on this, though. It's a big improvement over what we were hiking on that day.
I know, definitely, Dave.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is pretty much the only section that isn't just raked, basically. This is the only section that there's actual like work done. Yeah, so see what else we got. Yeah, this is now we've gone all the way up and we're now heading downhill again. So I think like over here is where the stream crossing would be. The gas station's kind of over here. So this is now looking down. So you can get a better vision of the grade here. But none of it was too steep at all. So yeah, that is also looking down and the stream crossing from the other side. So, and then now we're at 65 shoddy. So,
Go
yeah, that is
go back.
275.
Could you go back?
What
So,
is,
what's that container up above the bridge? Is that something that's supposed to go, or what is that?
what are you talking about?
The
That last
container
showing, that
there.
thing up there in the just over
Oh,
the far end of the bridge.
yeah. So, this is on the neighbor's property. There's pretty much all of the garbage and debris has been removed from 271 Hop River. I believe it's 250 Hop River. That's the neighbor, and they have a lot of debris that's right up on the property line. So I spoke to Phil about it because he said he took out an entire dumpster full of tires and like he took out a lot of stuff from 271 Hop River. And he was kind of talking about how because the neighbors haven't cleaned up their property, he's worried that it'll reflect badly on them. But of course, there's not much you can do. We were talking
Well,
about.
so here's my question. Was this put in there by M&M Oil, or was the neighbor themselves doing it?
Who's Eminem? Is Eminem Oil the neighbor? What do you mean?
M&M Oil is the previous owner of the gas station. The minute
No,
Cruci found it.
this is the abutting property, the neighbor. So it's like
No, but I'm just
250.
saying, did the neighbor put that junk up there, or did the M&M Oil put it there?
That it's
Then.
the neighbor did. It's that's all on the neighbor's property and it's all the neighbor's debris.
So then my question would be, if there's stuff up there that shouldn't be there from an environmental or zoning point of view, then I think it's something we should do something about. Because it is wetlands through there, and if they're storing old trucks and stuff up there, maybe we need
Yes.
to have them in to have a talk with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Phil and I were actually talking about specifically for this trailer you see here. Phil was saying how from a zoning perspective they or more from like a tax perspective they could like have an assessment say that they have to pay tax on it or get rid of it or something like that. So I don't know if that's an option.
I mean, we have to just make the distinction between it's ugly and we don't like it, but it's allowable by the zoning laws. And is there something that's an issue with zoning, and is there something an issue with from an environmental perspective? So, for example, if they have old vehicles up there that are leaking oil and or gasoline, that becomes a wetlands issue. Even if they happen to still be registered and were sitting up there. So I just want to distinguish, because we can't do anything about something we just don't like the looks of it. That's not within our purview, but I'm asking more from a point of view. Is there a if there's a zoning, is there a zoning issue, or which, again, P&Z must deal with it, or is there an environmental issue that we need to deal with?
Yeah, because that looks awfully close to the property line. I would check to
It's
see
like
if
on it, yeah.
yeah, then they've got there should be an offset that they need to be.
So as a minimum, they should really move it. But again, that's not our, unfortunately, it's not our
Oh,
purview.
I know. I was just commenting on that.
No, I just want to just make clear that whatever we talk about, yeah, we can say we don't like the looks of it, but we can't legislate ugly or what we think we don't, like the appearance of if it's allowable.
Okay. Well, that brings up a point for me, but it's on another property that I'd like to speak about. I don't know when I would bring that up.
So why don't we finish these reports and then we
Okay.
see where we can fit that in. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Let's look at the agenda. We do have other we could add something to.
Yeah. Okay. Because that brings up a point about an environmental impact.
So I just would say to wrap this one up is, Alyssa, if you could take a look and make sure that there's nothing of an environmental issue we have to be concerned with.
Yeah, sure thing.
Okay. You know, however you can do that from the abutting property, or if you get permission to go on and take a look.
Yeah, okay, I certainly can. Awesome. And I know Phil would be happy to have that stuff gone, so.
Yeah.
All right, I only have one more here. This was the one that Ross and Barb and I went out to. This is 65 Shoddy Mill. I know it's probably unrecognizable, but there was so much rain, and there's sort of an area, it's kind of over here that we think needs a little bit more excavating to sort of let the two. So there's a deep basin here now, and there's a deep basin over here. So basically they're going to kind of let this flow point make each of the levels of each of the basins equal.
Basically just cut a little channel in there. I think at that end of that string of boulders that it cuts from the left to the center.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was obviously quite a bit of water that had built up in here, which I wasn't unhappy about, but you can still see and hear how much fill got taken out. And this is a huge boulder.
I think that rock is about 8 feet across or so. Yeah. It looks like a glacial erratic.
Yep, definitely. It's huge. So
it's more like a backhoe erratic.
So yeah, this is what that looks like. I'm realizing I didn't get a good picture of the slope. Which was dumb, but I was just so focused on the wetland. But yeah, this is what I got for that. So they've pretty much finished, except for some feathering at the edges and cutting a channel there. They've pretty much finished pulling the fill out. And the next step is planting, and then they will monitor for 3 years to make sure everything grows the way that it should, and make sure that it's a successful wetland restoration. So I'm really happy that that the excavation is done, because I think once that step is finished, it's just kind of a race to the finish line then.
Yeah, I would say that's probably about 80% of the work is done. They still have a little more fill to pull out that's off. I think it's on the right side where we're not looking at the moment. And then that can be used to fill in up behind us on the slope and off if you turn around and face with your back towards that rock, there's a little area still that needs to be filled in on the upper slope. Yeah, it's still behind us, Alyssa. There on the rights where we would, you know, on the right sides where you'd get some more fill out, and then that would come diagonally across the slope and fill in a little bit where there's still a little undercutting on the slope. But overall, it looks very good. Joe Dillon, the town's engineer, was there. He felt that they had done a good job with the grading and compacting. And the place is seeded with winter rise we had spoken about quite heavily. And hopefully, as long as we have the ground frozen, I don't think there'll be an erosion problem. But it's something for them to keep an eye on, because we've had a lot of warm weather with rain.
Yeah, so that is that. That's all for my agent report.
And George Logan owes you a letter, an email stating what they had done, with bullet points and what they plan to do next. Bullet point, something simple.
Yes.
So that we could acknowledge, you know, their progress on it. It's purely for him to write the letter, so describing the work so that we as a commission can acknowledge the progress formally. And we want that description of, you know, what happened and what's next to come from, you know, George Logan, who was their soil scientist representing the trust for trustees for 65 Shoddy Mill.
Yeah.
So if you want to send him a note and remind him.
Yeah, I will. I need something from Joe as well, telling me that the slope is good, basically.
Yeah. Then if you want, you can copy me on that.
Okay.
And actually, now since we're still doing the agent's report, maybe you want to bring up your stuff now since this is part of the agent's work, Diane.
Okay. Well, it's my concern. I know Cam went out there and he actually came over to my house. I'm on Offenach Road, Wall Street, which is a cul-de-sac. And I'm talking about our neighbor between you and me, Ross.
Yep.
So I'm concerned.
Operation going on there.
Yes. Yes. Lot that he's taken nearly half the trees down behind his house. And I'm concerned because there's just so many vehicles back there.
Okay.
It's ugly beyond ugly. And like you said, we can't do anything about ugly, but now I'm concerned about environmentally, because I have wetlands on my property and my neighbor next to me, their property goes all in the back alongside mine. And then his property, but he almost looks like he is encroaching on their property and they wouldn't know it because their house is right on the Notch Road.
Yeah.
Right on Notch Road. So my house is set way back and I can see it all, but it just seems like environmentally there may be some things going on that we should look into.
I had met with Patrice about this after you brought it up. I had met with Patrice and Cam about it, and I needed some additional paperwork from the files that was not there. Cam and I looked, and Alyssa, I asked Barb about it because she said she was sure it was somewhere in her file cabinet there. And I said I had found the folder specifically marked for that property. Okay. And we went through our notes from, you know, from the meeting talking about the property.
Yep.
And there's some plans that are referenced that there's no public copy of.
Okay.
Which, and the, and, you know, and it was specifically from the applicant of what he said he was planning to do. He filled in a substantial amount of wetlands there. I talked to Barbara and she went out and this is when it first was noticed, like 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
I noticed him working in the wetlands and he didn't have a permit. And Barb went out there. He'd done a lot of filling into the wetlands. We issued a violation. He came in because the guy who's working there is the tenant. It's owned by another person who the tenant has some sort of a business relationship with as well. And the owner of the property said it was clearing to put in a blueberry patch and mushroom patch and for agricultural purposes. And then no such thing ever happened. So the clearing has since been used to like process wood. And they bring in stuff from outside. And apparently, to your point, they also, you know, do, you know, cut some trees down there. And it's one of those issues where he claims that he processes the wood for himself, that he brings it in from his tree business and uses it for firewood. And then there's the other side of where I've seen stuff come in and out. And so it's not terribly clear. And I think it would help if we could find those plans. And maybe if you went over, you know, talk to Barb, see if you can find them. She said she might have left them, Alyssa, in a tube or something near the file cabinet. Cam and I couldn't find anything.
Okay.
What there's also there's also large mounds of chips, like from the trees. I mean, we're talking huge mounds.
Yikes.
The bat. I mean, you could not see that house from my property.
Yeah.
And now that's all you can see. He has taken down so many trees that I can't even tell you. It just is awful.
So the question would be, one is there's two questions from a planning and zoning perspective.
Yeah.
Is he doing what is allowed? Is he performing business activities on that lot, which are not permitted in this zone. This is simply like home businesses where you can have a couple of cars park. You do your work mostly inside the building. And is he actively storing and maintaining equipment on the property, performing other business activities like related to tree services? And then also, is his clearing and such within the upland review area, because that's a high quality wetlands in there,
right? You know,
from what Barbara looked at. And I'm trying to remember which other watersheds it feeds, but it runs that wetland is quite extensive and goes all the way back in through there along Country Club.
Mm.
So I would say go over to Diana's property, arrange with her, take a look, and then we can go take a, you know, sit down, see if we can find those plans from, you know, from Barbara.
Okay.
Because if he's got big piles of chips and stuff there, that's not related to anything that we permitted. And if it's also being stored within the upland review area without a permit and such, because obviously it's not the agricultural activity we permitted, because there's no trace of blueberries or mushrooms there. So it's the area that he filled in is now being used for something other than what was originally called for. So I think it just requires some other looking. And again, Diana, it may be if whatever he's doing is allowable, you know, as ugly as it may look, there's nothing that we can do from a jurisdictional perspective.
No, I understand that. It's just that it just seems that it's not, I don't know. There's more than
it looks like. Is there something that is amiss with P&Z or with environmental regs from, you know, Bolton, you know, from the town of Bolton? If there is, then there's a reason for either us or P&Z to intervene. And if there isn't, as ugly as it, you know, may look to you, there's nothing we can do about it.
Right. I understand that, but I just think it's encroaching on wetlands quite a bit.
Yep.
It definitely could be.
So I would just say take a look, as we do have the jurisdiction within 100 feet of the wetlands of some activity, and even outside of that area, if there's an activity that can be shown to have an adverse impact, then, you know, there's something we can talk to the owner and the tenant about.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't just flip your project from being an agricultural use to not being an agricultural use.
Because the filling and grading was specific to, they were going to put blueberries and mushrooms in there.
Which they didn't.
Done so. If they had not filled and graded and said they wanted to for the purpose of planting blueberries and mushrooms, and we said yes, and they never did it.
Grading for mushrooms.
Well, it's interesting. It started out being, I forget whether it started out being blue mushrooms only, and then the next thing it was blueberries. Oh, the blueberries like mushrooms around them. Okay, but you know, we need those plans, and I can't find them.
Okay,
we do have the minutes are preserved, and some other artifacts, but not the plans that the owner had drawn.
Yeah, and these trees, they have to have been 100 years old. He's taken down probably a whole acre, 2 acres of him.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's really awful.
Yeah, and again, as I said before, Alyssa, you pass judgment on it's being terrible. You need to go take a look.
Yeah, sure.
It may be something that, yeah, you don't like the looks of it, but it's permitted. And then again, it may not. I don't know. But let's go take a look.
Yeah.
Well, even if it's permissible, I still think cutting down 100-year-old trees is terrible, Ross.
No.
And I stand by that.
Oh, I do, too.
I agree with it, too, but I just want to make sure that, you know, regardless of what we think, we have to act within, you know, we're allowed to.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just that just seems like something is terribly off.
Yeah. I agree. Okay.
So
So I guess anything else for wetland agent, and then we can move on to other.
Not for me.
Okay, then let's go on to other and updates to wetland regs.
Yeah, I have been delinquent. I have not finished my updating yet. I apologize. I've been distracted this month, but
it is the holidays.
Yeah, my New Year resolution is to get it done as early as possible, and hopefully before the next meeting. And as soon as I have it ready to go, I will ship it out.
Yep. And I also, before I forget, related to that from our last Khaki Wet conference, I do have sitting on my desk something I was going to scan and make a PDF of. And it's about all things vegetated considered. It was a handout from one of our legal discussions, and it's quite interesting. So I will make sure that I scan that as soon as we're done with the meeting, and I'll just send it out to everybody. Just 2 pages. But summarizes a lot of things that we're talking about with, you know, buffers, regulating removal of vegetation, do we regulate plantings by homeowners, and so forth. Okay, Alyssa, you want to show us your brochure?
Yeah, let's do something fun for last. Just another thing while I'm thinking of it. I'm working on the annual report as well.
Yep.
I wonder if this will be better. Maybe. Can everybody see Canva right now with?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yes.
So this is, it looks really confusing. But it's a trifold brochure. My chair is like incredibly loud. Apologies for that. Think of this as a trifold brochure. So this information for residents would be the front page. This with the three photos back here would be the back page. And this right here would be sort of when you first flip open that first page, the information for residents page. That would be what you see, this Bolton resident here. So it says, Bolton residents, the inside of this brochure can help you identify if you may have a wetland or watercourse on your property. Wetlands and watercourses are extremely important resources, so they're protected under Connecticut law. Special permits are required to conduct work in or near them. I'll go through this, but please be taking notes on stuff that you think I should change, because this is very much just a first draft. I just kind of threw this together. So I have wetlands don't always look wet. Basically the whole soil thing here, when to contact the agent, when you plan to do work within 100 feet of a wetland watercourse. If you're unsure, contact us and we'll help you. And I have contact information on the open both of sort of the inner flaps of the brochure. This is what you will see. So it's very, busy. But I wanted to include sort of the most common things that people will see, especially in the Bolton area. So hundreds of wetland species other than the ones pictured, but I have plants, wildlife, and trees. Of course I have skunk cabbage and ferns here, sweet pepper bush, button bush, cattails, phragmites.
And I've got all of those animals pretty much crawling around on my property at one time or another.
Yes.
I think the only thing I haven't had is a muskrat and a heron.
Yeah.
Those little tree frogs are, it's just, they look like a bird dropping. I had one sitting on a windowsill, and I said, oh, that's disgusting. I went over to this little guy scrunched up just like that.
I've had the pickerel frog in my yard.
Yeah, they're awesome. I get
they
them.
They are.
And then if you go in
the salamander.
Yeah.
Go under a log or something in the winter and you find the wood frogs frozen solid, because that's how they hibernate. It's just amazing that they survive like that.
Wow.
Yeah, these tree frogs, when they're small, they're almost see-through. They have really thin skin on their bellies, and you can't, it's not really like the fully see-through frogs, but they're almost translucent. They're really, when they're small. And then I have trees over here. I wanted to make sure it was kind of clear, because I'm not sure if my labeling is super clear, because I want to make sure it's clear that, should I say clear one more time? That it's obvious that like these are both red maple and these are both silver maple. And this is just black spruce and this is just pin oak. And then I, of course, had to include Atlantic white cedar. I know it's rare, but we do have some on Upper Bolton Lake. So, yeah, and then willow, birch. So,
I've got most of those around my property as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But yeah, so if there's any that are really sticking out to you, like, oh, this isn't in the brochure, but I see this everywhere, totally let me know. Or if you just think this isn't the best way to portray this information, or I should include something else.
It's one of these, I don't want something, I'm just my own take, and everybody else jump in with your thoughts on it, is I don't want to have something that's really pedantic and is long and hard for somebody to read. I want something, you know, that catches their attention and just basically directs them. If they don't know, just come in and ask, because that's why we're here.
Okay. Yeah, that's sort of what I was thinking as well. It is quite pedantic. But yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah, I like I like this.
Yeah, very good.
Awesome. Yeah, so maybe I'll definitely take out some of the words here, because this is just a very wordy
section. I mean, it's stuff like that. You can play with the word. I like the intent. I like the general information. And I agree with you. It's like some of this stuff, like the inside of this brochure can help you. It's like you can also change that to this brochure can help you, or we can help you, or whatever.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, perfect. Awesome. Yeah, good. Anything else?
Well, anybody? I think you should leave that about wetlands don't necessarily look wet.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so important.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that when we were walking around, especially stuff like floodplains.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, you have floodplains, or you're there in the dry season, and that does not look like a vernal pool. But if you're there a few months earlier or later, it will.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is there's like intermittent water courses. You know, yes. Summer and winter, it just looks like a little gully.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Cool. Yeah. And if anybody thinks of anything they want me to add, just email me.
I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, there's so many other plants and stuff you can put in. It's like, where do you draw the line?
I know.
I was thinking, oh, Jack in the Pulpit. But then again, don't need, it's like, you can't put everything in there.
Right.
Because then it's like, do we need to put fingernail clams in for the, you know, for the vernal pools and so forth?
Berry shrimp, yeah, exactly.
Berry shrimp.
Yeah, I was having that issue for sure. I mean, this was even more full before I kind of parsed it down. But I was really trying to focus on the things that people would actually see and recognize. And
because you
kind
have
of
to
like
go looking for some of those tiny things, like those clams in dry weather, and the same thing with the shrimp.
Yeah.
And you say those are things that you may find in a wetland, because I just don't want people to think, well, there's no muskrats, so I'm good. I can do what I want.
The fiddleheads. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely, I was also kind of struggling with wording of that. I tried to do, you know, species found in and or near wetlands, but that's kind of wordy.
I think, like you said, Michael, just put maybe there on this, you know, photos of species that may be found in or near wetlands.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything more that you can say than there are hundreds of them other than this.
Mm-hmm.
Are hundreds of wetland species other than the ones pictured. Yeah.
I eat them.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm not sure quite how it'll go over yet, because I feel like those that would sort of pick up and read this front to back would kind of already be tuned in to these things already, so I'm really trying to make it like the people who are completely unaware or really don't care might sort of gain some appreciation. So,
well, let's play with it again. Look at it next month, and you can like run it by some other people in land use, and we can take it to the selectmen, see what they think.
That's a good idea.
Because, you know, we certainly could go to one of the selectmen's meeting with this, just like we will with the updated regs.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, when you're ready, I could just ask them to put us on the agenda for 5 minutes at one of their meetings.
Yeah, awesome. And I...
Sometimes they meet regularly once a month, but they also do a couple of... They do, like, I think at least two accounts payable meetings, and they sometimes will do, like, special topics other than paying the bills on those meetings. Cool. You know, even if it's as simple as we show up in public comment and show this, you know, there's ways to fit it in, just like 5 or 10 minutes, 5 minutes of their time.
Awesome. Yeah. And I can get it printed through this, what I use to design it, which is called Canva. I can get it printed through them. I can get 100 for like $85, I think. So if we want.
There. Well, like I said, right now, I just, you know, you could just print this two-sided and fold it, and we can just hand a few copies to the, it doesn't have to be fancy.
Yeah, no. Cool. But yeah, that's what I got so far.
So this is like 8.5 by 11 folded three times, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so I mean, that's something we could just print, you know, print on one of the color copiers in the town too, just a few, copies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Definitely sure. Colored ones.
Yes. Certainly. Cool.
Very nice.
Thank you, guys.
And then we could always pay for it out of our budget, too, because we don't always spend all the money. It would be nice to spend something for something like this.
Definitely. Well, that's all I got.
Anything else under other? And if not, I will wish everybody happy holidays, because we won't. Happy holidays and see you next year.
Yes.
Unless I see you before the Mary, you have a question?
I do not.
Are you just waving?
I'm just waving.
Okay.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for being our clerk for all this stuff.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. My pleasure.
Oh. In that case, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Made by Michael, and do you want to second it, Diane?
Sure. I second it.
Yeah, then we're adjourned at 8:27, and I will, like I said, get the scan that thing right now before I forget and get it out to you guys.
Very good.
See you next year.
Happy holidays, everyone. See you next year.
Bye.
And Alyssa, if you want to call me about coming on my property, and anytime. Certainly.
Yes, okay. It is on my to-do list. Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.